Again, we considering some of the requirements of the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. The obvious, of course, is concerning ourselves, that we are to live chaste lives. We've seen that means chastity of heart, chastity of speech, chastity, of course, of behavior. So how do we do that? How do we accomplish this chastity? Well, the Bible lays out some means for doing so, and there are things that we've heard most of our lives, but no matter how many times you hear them, they are absolutely necessary if we're going to live lives of chastity. And most people do not, and I'm talking about God's people, do not take these means as seriously as they ought to. But in Psalm 119, we see one of the means for chastity is to have a delight in the Word of God, for the Word of God to be a major part of our life. In verse 9, we see, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Then he answers the question. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Taking heed, that's more than just reading it, though it is to be read. It is more than just hearing it, though it is to be heard. To give heed is to give attention. It is to put into practice, to act upon. So, one way that we protect ourselves from sin is to give heed to the Word of God, to feed upon the Word of God, to saturate our hearts with the Word of God. And we go on here in verse 10. He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. So there's a prayer concerning the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. As you read it, you hear it, it is to find lodging in the heart, and this serves as a safeguard that I might not sin against thee. So the Word of God is a safeguard against sin, giving heed to the Word of God. In verse 12, he prays that God would teach him. In verse 14, he says that he's rejoiced in the testimonies of God. This is part of having, giving heed. This is part of having it in our hearts. Verse 15, I will meditate. That's how we hide it in our hearts. It's how we keep it there, is to meditate, that is to think often upon the Word of God. We ought to, again, he prayed that God would teach him the statutes, and it ought to be our prayer that God would teach us, but that God would also just bring to our mind the Word of God all through the day, that God would just bring to our mind. And many would not do what they do if they meditated upon the Word of God. So again, if temptation arises, we need to pray that God would bring to our mind His Word. And he goes on in verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes, I will not forget thy Word. So to saturate our lives with the Word of God is a safeguard against all sin. It's a safeguard against adultery or fornication or impurity of any kind. Another thing is to watch, to be on guard over every single area of our life, to pay close attention to every single area of our life. That includes what we see. Notice in Job chapter 31 and verse 1, Job says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid or a young woman? I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Again, as we've looked at this seventh commandment, we see that one way that a person, one form of adultery, there's various forms, is that which is seen. Jesus addressed that in the Sermon on the Mount. So we have to be careful what we see. In Proverbs chapter 4, we saw that we're to keep our hearts in verse 23, that chastity of heart, and then he advances from there to behavior. He speaks of the mouth in verse 24, and then in verse 25 he says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. That is, be careful what you see. Now, we cannot always help. We cannot always prevent what we see. But we can, the very moment we see, we can and we do have a responsibility not to look, not to keep looking. Certainly we should not go to places where you know, just common sense tells you that if you go to a certain place that you're going to see certain things. You go to certain places, you go to a beach, you go to a pool, you're going to see nakedness. You're going to see that. You know that. So if we're really serious about guarding our eyes, we avoid such places. You know certain television shows, certain magazines, certain literature, certain places on computer, you're going to see certain things. Knowing that, if one is serious about chastity, you stay away. You stay away from those things. We also need to be careful what we hear. Once again, we cannot avoid many times what we hear, but we can avoid listening to it. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 21 and verse 22, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Now, he listened. He listened. He listened to her fair speech. He listened. He was caught up with her flatteries. Be careful what you listen to. Verse 22, he goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or has a fool to the correction of the stocks. In other words, he's lost his mind. He has ceased to think. He has ceased to stop and reason this out. And how many have ruined their lives because they have seen, they have heard, they continue to listen. The brain shuts down. Lust takes over. The rest is history. And we see that was the case here. So we have to be careful what we see. We have to be careful what we listen to. Again, you listen. This is the problem with certain songs. You listen to those lyrics over and over again. This is the problem with television. You watch and you listen over and over and over, and pretty soon you become immune to those things. They're just, you don't pay any attention. and you're in a very vulnerable position. So we need to pay attention to what we see. We need to pay attention to what we hear. Of course, we need to pay attention to the direction that we go, to the places we go. Psalm 119, we've preached from this verse several times. It's a prayer that ought to always be on our lips. Verse 133, he says, "Order my steps in thy word." Order my steps. Steps is the minute parts of the direction in which we head. Let not iniquity have dominion over me. Let not iniquity take control of my life. And what's the way to do that? For the Lord to order our steps, that we pay attention to the direction in which our life is headed, that we pay attention to the places where we go. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, concerning paying attention to our direction. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Now, that is not hard to understand. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way. Way speaks of a manner of life. Go not in the way of evil men. Okay, so there is the path of the wicked. There is the way of evil men. And as you walk through this life, you are going to encounter the path of the wicked. It cannot be avoided. In this world, you are going to encounter the path of the wicked. You are going to encounter the way of evil men. I mean, it would be nice if we could never encounter those things, but that's not reality. So what are we to do when we encounter the path of the wicked, we encounter the way of evil men? Verse 15, avoid it. Avoid it. It's not hard to understand. You know what the word avoid means. Avoid it. Doesn't mean that you get as close to it as you can. How many people have fallen because they get as close to the line as they can? People who are God's people, who are interested in where the line is, they're going to fall. Because you ought not to want to get close to the line. When people want to know where the line is, they want to know, how close can I get? They're already in danger of falling. They've already fallen in their minds. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. So what are we to do? We're to avoid it. We're to pass not by it. We're to pass not by it. If we do come across it, you do your best to avoid it. But there it is. I mean, you go to work, you go to school, you walk out your door, you stay in your house. There it is. You're going to encounter it. So what are you to do? Turn from it. Turn from it. Do not let it get your curiosity, your interest. You are to turn from it and pass away. That means you turn from it, you turn your back to it, and then you pass away. That is, you move as far from it as you can. It doesn't just say turn from it, it says and pass away. Move as far from it as possible. This is a safeguard. How many times adultery and fornication would be avoided if those two verses were followed? In verse 26, in verse 27, ponder the path of thy feet. That is, consider the direction in which you are moving. And let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So we are to pay attention to the direction of our life at all times. When we run across evil, whether it be something we see, whether it be something we hear, whether it be a place, doesn't really matter. We are to turn from it. We are to walk as far away as we possibly can. And the devil will say, well, that's rude. You can't be rude to people. No, that's safety. That's safety. And just walk away. Get as far away as possible. Galatians chapter 5 concerning this direction of life. Galatians 5 verse 16. Walk in the Spirit. That is, as the Holy Spirit guides. You walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and it is very probable that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's not what it says. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is a promise. Walk in the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit gets blamed for a lot of things today. People live in adulterous and lifestyle, a lifestyle of fornication, and they have the audacity to say that they prayed about it. Well, I don't know who they prayed to, but if they walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Ephesians 5, verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly. That is, very, very, very carefully. Do not be careless. And many, of course, are careless. They're careless where they go. They're careless who they're with. Walk circumspectly, not as fools. In other words, if you don't walk circumspectly, if you do not walk with caution, you walk as a fool. Not as fools, but as wise. That is, wise individuals. Walk very, very carefully. So we are to watch over every aspect of our life. And again, this is a safeguard against against temptation, a safeguard against sin. We not only have to safeguard our lives against sin, we have to safeguard our lives against temptation as well. You don't put yourself in a position of temptation. Many will argue, well, temptation isn't sin. I would differ. We're not going to get into that. But also, thirdly, there is to be temperance. There's to be self-control. The flesh has to be controlled. And that's true at all times. It's true every moment of our life. And it is an absolute necessity if we're going to live a chaste life, a life of chastity. It's a necessary hedge to have temperance. It involves, of course, the mortification of the fleshly nature. And the Bible has much to say about that. Jesus addressed it in Matthew 5, verse 29, in the Sermon on the Mount. But if we're going to have victory over sin, we have to realize that there is a fleshly nature. That's the nature that we're born with. And it's corrupt. It's in every one of us. And it is sinful. Again, the new nature does not sin. The new nature is Jesus Christ in us. The new nature does not sin. Every time we sin, it's the old nature. It's the fleshly nature. Every time we're tempted to sin, that's not the new nature. That's the fleshly nature. And we have to understand our nature. We have to understand how corrupt it is. If you do not have that understanding, you are in great, great danger, because you're not going to be careful. You're not going to be careful. You have to be aware of how sinful that fleshly nature is. In Romans 6, in verse 6, he says, knowing this, that our old man, that's our old sinful nature, is crucified with him, that the body of sin, that corresponds with the old man, that corresponds with our fleshly nature, might be destroyed, that henceforth, from this point on, we should not serve sin. That is, we do not live to serve our fleshly nature. We do not live to satisfy our fleshly nature. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, that is our fleshly nature, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, and again goes back to Ephesians 5:15, or Galatians, ye do mortify the deeds of the body, and there's life there, ye shall live. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Mortify, put to death, therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. These things are in all of us. We are to mortify these things. That includes making not provision for the flesh. Notice again back in Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. Reckon, count yourself, consider yourself to be dead unto sin. That is, sin calls, you do not answer. You are dead to sin. But alive unto God, that is, God calls, you answer. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin. The word let not means do not allow. You prevent it, you forbid it. Let not sin therefore reign. Let it not become a monarch. Let it not become the ruler in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither, so you do not let it reign, but it's always going to show up, neither yield, that is, give way, provide, relinquish, surrender, submit, neither yield ye your members, physical members of our body, hands or feet, mouth, all the members of our body, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. You do not yield those things, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Romans chapter 13 in verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh. You do not make provision for the flesh. So you do not go to places. You do not read. You do not watch things that you know are going to stir up the flesh. You make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And the way that we do all of this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, we're to cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I will agree that the thought is not as bad as the act, the physical act. We've went over that a long time ago when we first started looking at this commandment. But having said that, an evil thought is not okay. It's not innocent. It's sin. And we're to bring every thought, every contrary thought, into submission. So we are to abstain from anything that would feed our fleshly nature. Anything that would feed our fleshly nature, we are to abstain from. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. The world hates the word abstain. The world will do everything it can to avoid abstain. The Bible teaches abstinence. The Bible does not teach safe sex outside of marriage. There is no such thing outside of marriage. You have gone over, you've gone past God's set boundaries. You are no longer safe. You are to abstain. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. These fleshly lusts war against our soul. So, all of these things, and there's a few more, that must be done if we are to have lives of chastity. And the seventh commandment requires that we live lives of purity. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We, again, Lord, thank you for the laws that you've established as bounds in our boundaries in our life. And we pray, Lord, that you would keep us within your boundaries. And Lord, we just pray now that as we worship you, that our worship would exalt you in every way. And Lord, that you would cause us to draw closer to thee. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.